Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to another episode of All By the Popcorn Podcast. This is Emily.
I'm Alessandra.
And today we have a special guest all the way from Glasgow, Scotland. We've got Roisin!
Our favorite Glaswegian.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, exactly.
So we met Roisin.
Roisin? I think it's just Roisin.
I've heard George call you Roisin.
Oh, that's true.
So I don't know.
How about Roisin?
You like that one?
Yeah, that is true. You like that?
I don't know. Whatever you want. I just don't want to be butchering your name. Yeah. So I'm gonna change it now. I'm gonna say Roisin.
Oh, no. That's way off base.
Is it?
As long as it's around the mark, I'm happy.
How about Roro? You like Roro?
Do you know
oh,
what
I
your,
do like Roro.
Do you know what your name means?
Someone called me that in college.
That is a really cute.
That's cute!
Yeah, I do know what my name means, actually. It's Gaelic for little rose.
Little Roro.
Oh, that is adorable.
Aw.
Okay.
Too bad nicknames never stick with me, so you're going to be Roisin. Okay.
Today we're going to talk about the movie Heathers, which Emily and I have seen before, but not for quite a bit. And it was Roisin's first time watching it.
Yep.
So we have some thoughts about Heathers, featuring Winona Ryder and Christian Slater.
Bay! Woo! Christian Slater's bay!
He's very attractive.
He is. Young Christian Slater, and might I add, old Christian Slater. I mean, how old is he? He's not even that old. How old is he?
We're going to find out in about a moment.
In about a moment.
He is actually...
Is he even 50 yet?
47 years old.
Ho-ho! Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That man's
fine. So he was born in 1970.
Wow.
Which is the same age as somebody else I know. And I'm not going to name who that is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, Alessandra.
Yeah.
She's the same age as a lot of other people.
Everyone who was born in that year, in fact.
Do you know anybody else who was born in that year? No, I didn't think so.
First of all, I'm terrible with dates, so I wouldn't even know.
Yeah, anyone. You are. You literally forget my birthday every single year. She has no idea. What's my birthday, Emily?
January 12th.
You're a piece of shit.
Anyway. So we're gonna talk about Heathers. You know, I'm a big fan of 80s movies, mm-hmm. and this is a special 80s movie. You know, when I first saw the movie poster on Netflix, which is where mm-hmm. I first saw it,
yes, this is when we first
I was like, oh man,
it.
I love 80s movies. They're so fun and you know, funny and optimistic
right.
and just a cute little love story.
Yeah.
No.
No. No.
What did you think this movie was gonna be about, Roisin?
Well, I knew they were high school age, and I saw Winona Ryder was in it, and I'm like, oh, I love Winona Ryder. She's great. I was very shocked. It started off, and then it's that really weird bit, and her head's just in the ground, and it was just like, oh, okay then. And at first I thought I wasn't liking it. I was like, okay, I really don't know where this movie's going. But as it went on, I was just like,
didn't like it?
This is good. At first I was like, what is this tone? I don't understand. Like, these characters are so strange.
Yeah.
But then as you go on, you kind of get more of a sense of the movie.
Yeah.
And you start to understand what it's really about. And then I really liked it. By the end of it, I was like, yeah, this was a cool ride.
It's definitely not another 80s movie.
No, it's very of the times in many, many ways. Not to mention the wardrobe. And
loved it.
Yeah.
Wardrobe's great.
It's insane. So great. And just like the lingo.
It's so very.
And the slang. Yeah. They say like, what's your damage? And like,
and they say like, one. Mega bitch.
Yeah.
And like,
that's so very.
Yeah.
Which is really odd.
It's hilarious.
And they say things like, there's some really great one-liners in this movie. Like,
definitely.
Oh,
so many good ones, including fuck me gently with a chainsaw. It's a great line.
Which is normally what 80s movies are kind of known for, because, you know, other than just being really cutesy, like, you know, angsty high school 80s movies, like, they normally 80s movies do have really good one-liners. Like, you know, there are always some good quotables from, like, Breakfast Club and Pretty in Pink and, like, 16 Candles and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. But, like, so this one does definitely tie back into the 80s theme, but, like, with such a huge twist and such a different, it goes off the handlebars. Like, it's seriously, like...
It's very surreal.
It's on the 80s train, and then the train just flips off the tracks and blows up. Like, it's...
Literally
blows up. Like, it's insane how different this movie is from every other stereotypical high school movie.
Yeah, when it came out, it didn't have the reception that people thought it was going to have, and it was very kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. Definitely weird. Like, I was watching this, and I was like, what? This is not like Breakfast Club. What is going on here? Because I love Breakfast Club. But it's just, and the more you watch it, the more you, like, are trying to figure out what the heck is going on and what this movie's trying to accomplish. And it's really, I have this article by Alan Zilberman from The Atlantic, and he really talks about a lot of the things it covers, because it doesn't just... So basically, for anyone who hasn't seen the movie, spoilers, obviously, because we're going to talk about it in depth. So spoilers as of right now. If you plan to watch the movie, which we highly suggest, if you like gory, kind of scary, kind of neurotic.
Sort of artsy.
Surreal, artsy, yeah, like messed up 80s movie, like go watch it. If you love Christian Slater, go watch it. Just
Or Winona Ryder.
Like just... This movie's fantastic. So, this guy is talking about...
Can we make a pause?
Oh, okay. So, basically, in this article, Alan is talking about... Right, his name is Alan. Yeah. Alan
from where?
The Atlantic.
Oh, The Atlantic. I'm sorry.
Yeah. He's mostly talking because this was written right as the Heathers musical was about to be performed on...
Yes, which is a pretty recent thing. Like, a couple years ago.
Yeah. And he's just talking about how it really doesn't follow what the movie Heathers is trying to portray. He says that, you know, they kind of wanted, aims to strike a more hopeful, optimistic tone by the end. What? Which I think is kind of like...
I thought the end of the movie was really hopeful and quite, I mean, because it was a lot more upbeat and... positive than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, did you think they were all just going to get blown up?
Well, I don't know. This, like, it just kept getting darker and darker, and it was going down the
spiral.
They killed
a lot more
people.
She,
like, brought herself out of it, you know what I mean? Like, that was really... And then she goes and hangs out with someone who's not horribly toxic. Mm-hmm. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, like, she hung out with one of her old friends.
Mm-hmm. She just was like, yeah, fuck it, basically. I'm done with this. With this toxic stuff.
No, that is the perfect way to describe Christian Slater in this movie. He's the most toxic relationship.
Mm-hmm. I think he's supposed to be like the devil.
Yeah, he definitely, him and his dad are like...
Dark tendencies.
Yeah, like his dad blows up buildings for a living.
And not to mention, he doesn't just blow up buildings. He pushes people out of them who are living there and don't want to leave. Like, he forcibly removes them.
Uh-huh.
And then he blows up whatever it is. Like,
yeah.
He, like, doesn't care if it's historical. He doesn't care if this building has any meaning to anyone. He's just going to blow it up and put whatever he wants on top of it.
Like, they're kind of sociopaths. And they're definitely, like, into murder, into death.
Pain.
And I think that they... Like, he signifies kind of, like, the devil, the temptation of evil.
Well, they just see it all as a game, really, is the problem.
Yeah, and there's so many themes of teenage suicide and popularity and just taking everything way too seriously, not taking things seriously enough. Like, it's very, like, satirical towards teenage culture, especially in the 1980s, when there was actually a rise in teenage suicides, incredibly. So it's a very, like, just seeing the people's reactions to those things and that the way that they can't understand how finite it is and everything like that. It's very interesting, this movie. It tackles a lot of those really serious subjects.
Yeah, there was a lot to take in, actually. I'm just going through it all in my head. There's so many images and so much that went through my mind as we were watching it. It's really funny. I think it's really funny.
It is very...
It's funny, yet dark. Horrifyingly shocking. Because, yeah, I was reading this article, and the Alan, I'm just going to refer to him as Alan, because that's who wrote it.
From the Atlantic?
From the Atlantic.
Alan from the Atlantic.
Alan from the Atlantic. Atlantic Alan refers to, like, stuff happening in the background. And, I mean, he talks about how the movie's just kind of, you know, poking fun at high school, you know, antics and stuff like sex and drugs and drinking and suicide even. Like, the fact that they take suicide and make it a high school fad.
Yeah.
And how all the popular kids are doing it.
Yeah.
And then the second, like, a geek tries to do it, like, they're lame. Like, don't try and do what us popular kids are doing. The fact that
including suicide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Around suicide. Yeah, that was, like, the main thing. Like, even though they touched on a lot of other stuff. Like, he was talking about how in the background, like, Veronica, Winona Ryder's character, like, almost gets raped, like, a few times.
Yeah, it's horrible. And other people do, too.
And the fact that she gets away while others are actually getting raped.
In front of your, like, on screen, too.
Yeah, it's horrible. That was, it was crazy.
It's extremely shocking,
It's extremely graphic. Like, it's very...
I mean, it's something, though, that, like, I don't, a lot of people have to face, like, that sort of culture is rampant, especially in around like college years.
Mm-hmm.
You just get people that are just, you just have to watch for, basically.
Yeah, and they show that in the movie, like that college party that they go to.
Oh, it's so horrible.
Where Winona Ryder's like not taking any of it, and her friends are the ones who are going along with it, who don't rebel at all, and they just like take it.
Because they think they're supposed to.
Yeah.
They think that's what they're meant to do.
And so there's a lot of, like, it's very extreme. Like, everything that happens is, like, a very extreme kind of version of real life, basically. Mm-hmm. With an added component of somebody wanted to, like, murder the entire school. So it's very weird.
But yeah, so on the topic of shocking scenes, let's see. I think, well, getting off the topic of shocking scenes, I want to talk about Winona's character in general, because she, like, we know that JD's a temptation, we know that, you know, when she first lays eyes on him in the cafeteria when they're doing their dumb, like, lunchtime poll.
Poll, where they're, like, talking to people about what they would do if they had, like, $1 million and only 2 days to live or something.
Yeah, which Heather number one was, like, showing, was, like, mostly wanted to do the lunchtime poll just to talk to all the cool kids in school. Like, it was...
But no diversity at all.
Yeah, so just none. Like, ridiculous, it was just poll. The same people. And so then Winona was always there the whole time being like, you know, let's talk to other people this time. Like, we only talked to, like, the same... two cliques.
Yeah.
We never talked to, because the cliques in this are very well established, and of course, like, in every high school themed movie, the cliques are always...
Very well established, yes.
Very well established. And so, they're going around talking to all these different groups, you know, the geeks, the jocks, the everything. And Christian is kind of like a... kind of at, like, the loner table, like, with one other guy. Like, I never really...
It's like a guy who's, like, sleeping.
Is he sleeping?
Yeah.
I never pay much attention to him.
Yeah.
Because I'm too busy looking at Christian, but...
Because he's pretty fine.
Because he's pretty... He's pretty cool.
He's crazy hot, and that is literally what he is in this movie.
He's just, like, so cool as a cucumber when you, like, first meet him, and you just
he's
think
he's
cool so...
He's not cool as a cucumber at he's all. He's murderous.
Insane.
He's literally insane.
He's insane.
Very important lessons about sociopaths in this movie.
Definitely. It's just interesting how, because the article kind of touches on how you kind of feel for, even though these kids are getting murdered, and that's definitely not a good thing, like, it kind of makes you feel for JD and Veronica, like, doing this, because these people...
You don't outright dislike them, for sure.
Yeah, because you see where they're coming from. You're kind of, in the beginning, you're kind of, I mean, Winona's jokingly being like, oh my god, I want to kill Heather, like, in the beginning, because, you know, she's being a total mega bitch. And it's just, it's weird. It's weird kind of empathizing.
Yeah, that you empathize with the murderers, basically.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think it's partly to do with how dreamlike the whole movie is. I think that's a very, deliberate choice that they made with the whole style. That you had to be able to empathize with them or the movie wouldn't work at all.
Mm-hmm.
You had to know where they were coming from and understand the world that they were in and what would cause people to act like this and to turn out like that.
And there was, like, very smoky scenes where there'd be, like, everybody in it, and it seemed like a fog machine was making the entire room very smoky. And, like, things were happening right in front of the screen were the clearest, and everything in the back was, like, very hazy.
Mm.
You know? Like, they were sitting in the cafeteria, and they would... And everything is also very... It's, like, color-coded, so everything is very specific to each girl. Like... Each Heather had a different color, like red or green or yellow, and Veronica had blue, and she wears the same color the entire movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it adds to the dreamlike quality of it, because it's, like, so surreal that they would have this very specific color code and very specific way of acting.
Mm-hmm. And the way they film it, too. The way the shots are set up is very picturesque the whole way through. I noticed, and the way that they talk, they say certain phrases over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, yeah, when the first time when she's sitting down with her parents, she's like, oh, I've got to go if I'm gonna get to this party, and then she says the exact same tone. I've got to go to this funeral.
Yeah, the same scene happens two times.
Twice.
with her parents.
It totally does. She'll
be playing croquet.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, she'll be sitting.
Outside.
Her dad will always say, you know, take a break, Veronica. Come relax a while. And then she'll, like, come sit down and she'll, like, have a bite. And then her dad will be doing this. Yeah, the mom will say the same things, like, oh, prom's coming up, Veronica. Who's going to be your date? And she's like, oh, whatever. And then the dad's, like, reading something. And he's like, why do I read these spy novels? And she's like, because you're an idiot. And
why do I smoke these cigars? Because you're an idiot, Dad.
And the mom just brings up the same topics, like, the second time. She's like, so when are we going to meet this boy who's going to take you to prom? Because prom's so important because it's fucking high school.
Yeah, you're a girl and you're in high school, so you must be interested in going to the prom with a guy.
Yeah, and then when JD tells her parents that you know, Veronica's going to commit suicide,
mm-hmm.
it's still kind of like, it's a different scene with her parents at least, but it's still like the same type of properties.
The way that they talk to her, the way that they behave.
They forget that
her.
She's even there. Just talk about, like, you know.
Pate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, you want me to make you some pate? And she's like, no. And she, like, runs away, like, to her room. But the mom just, like, is so uninterested and distant.
Yeah.
And JD touches on that, like, he's saying that, like, you know, the school system's fucked, like, parents don't listen, like, adults don't listen, like, the whole school hierarchy is, like, ridiculous.
And she tells her parents, she's like, you don't treat us like adults. And she's like, we do treat you like adults, and that's when you get angry at us, because we treat you like adults. And it's like, no, you're not seeing your own child, you're not seeing everything that she's telling you. It's very, like, they're completely not connected with their child at all. And every single parent, like, they're the only parents in the movie, right? Or there's several, yeah, just Veronica's parents are the only parents.
Veronica's parents and then JD's dad.
JD's dad, that's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it is really weird.
And then, yeah, because I don't think you see any of the Heather's parents.
I think that's quite inaccurate. It's because it's all told from Veronica's point of view. It's how she's seeing the world, so that's why it does look so dreamlike. Because if you think about it, one of the only points that really hits home and it just looks very real is at one of the second funeral for the two boys,
mm-hmm.
and the little girl looks at her, and it's just a very, like, the girl's just got tears down her face and she's just looking at her because she burst out laughing at something that Christian Slater said. And then you see, like, it kind of hits home a bit more. about how what real life actually is to her, but that's the problem, is that she feels, I think a lot of it's to highlight how isolated she feels in the world, and so you can totally understand why when someone's actually speaking to her, and connecting with her on some level, that she would totally go with JD because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because he connects with her on a level that nobody else does.
Yeah, everyone else is just in their own world, and so she's just been stuck in this dream basically,
mm-hmm.
her whole life. And then the first time that really shatters is when the first Heather dies.
Yeah,
and that's one of the first times and one of the only times in the film when it feels like it's a really real moment.
Right, because that's when it gets serious. Mm-hmm. Because that's the first time somebody dies, and the stakes are from just playing around to really being serious. Like, they just murdered somebody. She mm-hmm. just shattered on the glass table after they gave her the bleach, basically.
Yeah, antifreeze or something. Yeah, drainer.
She drank the Drano, yeah. And then she just was, like, choking, and she just fell, and she just died. And
which, that scene's awesome.
It's a great scene.
She's just laying there, like, in her perfect little bedroom and, in her little sleep robe and sleep slippers, and then her mouth just turns blue after, like, glugging this Drano, and then she just, like, does this very dramatic, like, almost fake kind of, like, dying thing.
Roll, and then she just falls. And then just
falls face first on this glass table, and it just shatters. And it's just, like...
It's insane.
It's so shocking. It's so
shocking. It's just, like... Especially, I mean, even to Winona Ryder in the scene, Veronica, she's like, I can't believe we just murdered my best friend. And then he's like, well, let's write a suicide note. And then she asks him, that sounds great. Is this the first time you've written one of these? Like, you can't be. And he doesn't say anything.
And
he
just,
like,
looks up and
the look on his face is like, yeah, I've done this before. This is probably, like, you know, he says he moves a lot because his dad's in construction, but... I think it's because he blows up every school that he goes to.
And she doesn't resist this because she's finally found a kindred spirit or somebody else who sees everything from the outside in.
Yeah, and she's into it deep now. Yeah. She's got to at least cover up this thing happened if she wants to have any sort of normal.
Yeah, because it's interesting when you first see Winona in the beginning of the movie where she's kind of like seeing the better parts of people, but she's still like hanging out with the Heathers and doing bad things to people just because of peer pressure. And then later in the movie, like, I'm just wondering why she keeps going back to JD. And that's just because, you know, she sees all the shitty qualities in people, and JD seems to really understand that. Well. But then she seems to blind herself every time, because, you know, you'd think after, you know, accidentally, murdering. Quotation marks here, accidentally murdering the first Heather, which JD knew that this was happening because she grabbed the wrong cup. Like, it was totally an accident to her, but JD was also there.
But then he makes that point later that she totally knew that the bullets that the guy they shot him with were totally real bullets and not
bullets. Totally calls bullshit on her the whole time,
and she totally murders those
she's too smart even for the first death. Like, she would have known, she would have picked up the wrong cup.
She knew it though. I would totally say knew it. It
she
was
can
just...
say to herself that she, like that she it was an accident, but
which is why she has the retribution in the end by not letting JD blow up the entire school. Mm-hmm.
And then taking over the school, taking the Red.
Yeah.
Because
Red over herself.
Red in this movie, like, kind of symbolizes the leader of the school. And that's what the first Heather had. And that's what the second or the third Heather.
Yeah.
Because there was the
red, Heather
yellow.
Number three.
Yeah, red, yellow, green. The green Heather, like,
became
wanted it
the
whole time. Like, she.
Yeah. She asked for the red croquet ball. There's so many clues in this that are just so specific. Like, each metaphor is relayed upon with
it's
the colors,
really,
and it's just so complicated.
Yeah, there's so many layers. I was just amazed watching it before the first Heather dies, and they're outside fighting in the rain. She's like, I've done so much for you. And I was just like, this is like the third act of another movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then it really starts when she dies, really, for me. That's when the movie really starts.
Yeah.
Because before that, it could have just been any other high school movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it does it on purpose. Like, it kind of fools you in the beginning to be like, oh, take this, take this just another 80s movie and it's going to be all fine and dandy in the end. But then it just, the first death happens and then it just continues like just times 10 every time, every scene after that.
Exponentially gets.
Yes.
Yeah. It's very insane, very intense, which is probably why the musical doesn't live up to something like this movie, because it's so complicated and it's so specific. I mean, the guy in the article didn't think it led up to it, but I mean, I've listened to some things from it, but I mean, it's very hard to, you know, say.
Yeah, which he said, like, Winona's or Veronica's monologues are in it, are, what is it? Like, the main songs in it are Veronica's monologues or something. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of what they did.
Because she does, like, a lot of monologuing. Yeah, she, like, writes in her diary. Yeah.
She writes very, and I like...
With a monocle on her eye.
Oh, yeah, the monocle.
It's very...
It's so good.
Yeah, it's very dramatic. She, like, sits down.
It's so dramatic.
And she scrolls.
She's scribbling in these big letters.
Yeah, like, I love the big letters.
I've never seen a character write like that in a film before. It was so real, the way she's just scrolling.
So big, and she was so upset. She, like, tosses it, because she's so angry at Heather.
And she just, like, moves violently, like, with her writing, and she's like you could tell, and then she's like just in her monologuing, and you could just feel the passion when she's writing.
And I also just love how much Winona Ryder takes this role that is a very dramatic role and does not overplay it. She has the perfect reaction to everything. Like, I feel like she just is awesome. Yeah. She just does a really good job. This could have been extremely tacky and extremely campy, and it was fine. Like, it was totally, like, believable, completely believable performance by Christian Slater and herself to be these kind of off-the-rails murderers in a high school that you just believed was a thing, because they were so, like, out there. They were so beatnik and so, like, basket case-like.
Yeah.
And they, like, smoked and stuff. And she, like, burns her hand with the cigarette thing. And, like, it's just... It's crazy. Like, they're so well done. That these characters are so well put together. All the Heathers are, you know. They're very...
It just makes so much sense, like, that it is just totally how she sees the world. Because everyone else to her is just a cartoony exaggeration. And they don't feel like real people to her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she can't connect with them. And that's why he seems much more real and grounded for the most part, until he really starts going off the rails himself.
Yeah.
And because she starts seeing him more for how he actually is, so he starts showing it starts showing that he is more psychotic than he first appeared to her. It's really cool.
Well, this got an incredible different, like, amount of critic reviews here. It has a 73 Metascore on the Metascore on IMDb.
Which I don't think it deserves that.
Which the lowest score from several people are from, like, Los Angeles Times and the Chicago Reader and the New Yorker are 40%.
Wow.
But it has, like 3 100s. So it's an extremely polarizing movie. So I'm going to read one of the Los Angeles Times says, unfortunately, director Michael Lehman's point of view is swivel mountain. He doesn't have the courage of his cynicism, which is really weird.
What's swivel mountain?
Swivel mounted. Like, what they said in the movie with, like, they're like, it comes up twice where one of the guys was like, I'm gonna...
Where they're like, sit on it and swivel.
Swivel, yeah. Which is really... Yeah.
Which is, you know, one of the immature sexual jokes that the guys say.
Right, and then about and girls. Then one of the dorks says it to him afterwards. He, like, sticks his middle finger up and he goes, like, swivel on it or something.
Yeah, because after the first...
Yeah.
After... Wait, that was after the... What was it? The
funeral of the...
The two...
No, the first one. The first Heather.
Yeah, because basically what happened after Heather dying, the first Heather dying, which she was, like, the leader of the school. Like, she was on top. And the second she died at first, before everyone was being like, oh, Heather's so popular, she made suicide trending, like, committing suicide trendy. Like, there was kind of, which I think is what J.D. wanted. He wanted, like, he likes chaos, so he kind of wanted that hierarchical chaos afterwards. So, like, when the nerd is saying, like, sit on it and swivel to, like,
the jock
who says that, he's like, yeah, fucking stand up to the jocks because, you know, the leader's dead. But then it all just turns around and backfires and then just keeps feeding JD into this crazy obsession with killing people because he wanted
totally
the chaos.
He does love the chaos.
So in turn, after killing Heather 1, then the chaos of the hierarchy ensues, which then... but then goes back to normal again. So it's kind of like the chaos just keeps jumping from polar to polar. Like, it's like hierarchy's messed up, but then it's back to someone else is on top, like, which is what Veronica talks about a lot in this, is like, you know, someone will just take her place. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just insane that, you know, even though Veronica is seen as like the hero in the end, I thought it was interesting that she had to take the lead in order to, you know, make the school better again. Because, you know, every time they'd kill the leader, she'd be like, okay, maybe now it'll be better. But it never did. It never got better. Because
Until she
had to realize that she needed to be the leader of the school because she was at least the most kind-hearted.
And she befriends the dorky girl. She befriends the one that's not nobody likes.
Yeah, nobody tried
to commit suicide.
Who really was depressed, who was getting bullied harshly.
Yeah, she was being made fun of because of her weight, and
that was another very real, that was one of the only real characters that's portrayed as very real and not a caricature. She just seems very alone and sad for the most of the film, and it was really heartbreaking first when you even first see her.
I know, it's
in
very
the first scene. I felt so sad.
You're just like, and they're gonna pull a prank on her, and you're horrible. Just like, oh, like, you're, like, disgusted with how somebody could do that. Well, anyways, somebody else said in The New Yorker in 1989, yes, it's a collection of barbs and sick jokes, but it's not fun, and it lacks a punchline. The young, inexperienced director, Michael Lehman, does not find the right mood for the gags, which I think is not...
I don't agree with that at all.
Did these people not understand what this movie
Clearly
was
they
like, trying
didn't
to
understand.
Accomplish?
But yeah, I'll read some of the 100% ones on the here because they seem to get it. The San Francisco Chronicle. It's shockingly funny. You don't sit there deciding to laugh. Your own laughter catches you by surprise.
Mm-hmm. Totally true.
Wickedly funny. In fact, Heather's may be the nastiest, cruelest fun you can have without actually having to study law or gird leather products. If movies were good, Heather's would be a Cynic's chocolate binge.
Wow, yeah.
And I was saying how satisfying this movie was when we were watching it, because it's extremely satisfying. Everything that happens is just like watching a fantasy appear on the screen. For just anybody. Like, I feel like it's just so grotesque in its dramaticism that it just gets to that point where you're just, like, so excited about death or whatever. But even then, it's, like, revenge or seeing good things happen to good people or bad things happen to bad people, you know?
Yeah, which that's really interesting. I'm really surprised that Metascore made it so low.
Do you know what? My absolute favorite scene in the film is the actual dream sequence within the dreamlike film, when it's
during the third
when Winona's dreaming
technical death.
That is just and it
in
uses the camera angles, and it just zooms up and the priest is upside down and it just flips and then
everyone's wearing 3D glasses
and she's just watching and he's like, and as she puts so eloquently, life can suck, and he's just like screaming. Oh, it's just, it's so good. And then it ends with that really like weird image of like her, like the first Heather pulling her head down into the
pasta,
into the molded pasta. I just thought it really, that was like the peak of the film for me. And then the real conclusion comes afterwards, but that was just, it was just the summarization of everything for me. I loved that bit.
Yeah,
because it's super funny by that time.
It's very funny. It's very comedic.
It's not even a third death. It's like a fake third death that Winona is dreaming. But by that time, like, it's not even wrong. Like, what? Like, I totally thought that first seeing this movie that dream sequence was kind of almost reality.
Because
the movie was getting exponentially more and more
insane,
ridiculous.
Yeah,
and you know, because JD is just being like, it doesn't, like, because the first two deaths are like, oh, let's try and make it look like real suicide. Suicides. And so then they just, people just keep eating up these suicide notes.
Yeah,
like,
they're very into it.
Showing,
including,
like,
the staff. Including the staff of the school.
I know, the adult
the
staff
actual
were, like,
adults
ridiculous.
Are also just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny how Veronica talks about how the deaths have actually changed people's views of the people. Like, she was saying that with Heather One's death, it actually proved that she, like, had feelings, like, mm-hmm. for others. And then when the two jocks died, they like, framed it so that they were both lovers on the football team. And they shot each other because, you know, them being together wouldn't have been accepted. And they, like, and pretty much around the school, they were always, like, making sex jokes and, you know, catcalling girls and wanting to sleep with all the girls. And that when they died, they're like, oh, now the people think that these two are actually just misunderstood people in love.
And that bothers Veronica. That they were playing a part. Yeah. That yeah. they are seen in death as complete opposite of what the way actually they were,
like, actually likable innocent people when yeah. when in reality, like, when they were alive, they were monsters. Like, they were disgusting human beings.
It extremely criticizes teen suicide in a very specific way, which is a very real thing for a lot of people. But it just basically, when people commit suicide, they become caricatures of themselves. It's like seeing what society thinks of these people who are actually in turmoil.
Oh, that horror! That's like, we're putting on the 2-page spread in the yearbook for the first Heather. That was, and it's just like, they would totally do that.
And the student's like, totally, it's a lot more tasteful than you think, but it's not.
It's really not.
They're just feeding the fad, and they're feeding what the audience wants. Yeah. It's like, oh, poor Heather, she was such a beautiful soul. And it's just like, that shocking comment that the counselor, that lady was a counselor, right? Super, like, who was like, oh my God, another student's dead. Let's all have a feeling circle.
Right.
Oh,
like, let's bring together our feelings.
It's a beautiful synchronicity. And the cameras just happen to be here. And look at us all coming together through this tragedy.
Everyone was feeding off like of that. For their own personal agendas.
And so was that band, the Big Fun band or whatever. They wrote a whole song on it so they could capitalize on
teen suicide.
It's ridiculous.
It's crazy how so many terrible. Angles this makes fun of stuff or not make
well,
like just,
I love it brings man. I love to light it. The
in like a satirical way.
Yeah. The pretty much the idiotic or, you know, ridiculous nature of things. Like the way that people behave towards teenagers. The way that society sees teenagers, and it's extremely like notable of this time of the 1980s. So I feel like people even today, this movie is going over people's heads when they should have really sat down and analyzed it like we're doing right now, because it is so dark and so specific, and like I don't know how they,
it's completely well done.
It just is a really well done film. Like, it's a really well done idea, just completely drawn out of society.
It's completely revolutionary.
Yeah, it's a really good movie.
I would really like to research all the other movies that were made like in the 80s that weren't just like happy-go-lucky.
I would say that another one that is like this is Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, I was thinking of Edward Scissorhands actually, because it's also got a very exaggerated viewpoint of the world, because
the
colors and you're seeing it through Edward's perspective.
And the caricature
really.
Characters.
Yeah.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
And another Winona movie.
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
She knows how to pick them, man.
She really does.
She knows how to pick them. She's so great.
And as I was watching this movie, I was seeing her pouting on the screen. I was looking at her and I was like, who does she look like? She looks like Millie Bobby Brown, who plays Eleven in Stranger Things. They are like doppelgangers.
Could Millie be the new Winona?
She is really similar to her. Like, I was watching her, like, pouting when she was standing at Heather's locker. And I was like, she looks just like Millie right now. The way that she looks, the way that she's kind of pouting right now. Like, they look really similar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
I think Millie could be in some great stuff.
Oh, Millie's only destined for greatness, man.
Let's just hope she gets there.
She's gonna get there.
Well, I mean, look at how good she was in her first ever role, man.
I know, it's a great start. She needs to just not mess it up.
No, you know what she did, like, not too long ago, like a month ago?
What?
She said on her Instagram, she shared a video of herself saying, I'm sorry, I can't go to this convention. I'm really tired. I just need to take, like, some mental days for myself. And I'm sorry, I've just kind of been over-exhausted lately.
No wonder.
And everybody else...
tons of stuff.
Yeah, and everybody else was like, oh, Millie, it's okay. You take some time for yourself. And I was like, this girl's got some good ideas about what she needs to do to be mentally healthy.
Yeah, she's like, that's and, so smart. Oh, so smart.
So good. I was just so proud of this
girl. She's gonna do well.
I just feel like everybody's all like... I really hope that people take her very seriously, obviously, and not, like, turn her into a cartoon, which I think, like, Winona kind of got into, and she was kind of like that. Like, she went a little bit nuts when she got older, but, you know, it makes sense because of fame and everything, but it's very...
Oh, man, I can't even imagine, like, what living life would be like to be such, like, a huge, huge, well-known actor. It must be insane.
Yeah. And Millie's on her way to being that, basically. Yeah. Because Stranger Things is so popular. As well. And yeah, she's just a child.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
At least Winona Ryder was a little bit older. I mean, not that much.
Yeah,
she
was
only a teenager, right?
She was like, yeah, she was a teenager in her first movie, which I think it might have been Edward Scissorhands was her first movie.
Was it not Beetlejuice?
It might have been Beetlejuice.
Wasn't it Beetlejuice?
Was it Beetlejuice? She was 17 in Beetlejuice. 16 or 17 in Beetlejuice?
I think so.
Yeah.
She's great.
I love that film.
She's chic.
To go off.
Yeah, that not is to go a off good topic one. Again. No, we're talking about Winona, so.
Cool. That's cool.
Because this movie is basically highlighting Winona. Like, it's a very. She's really great.
We should have a whole podcast dedicated to highlighting Winona.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should do Girl Interrupted at some point. Because I love that film, and it'd be a good lead on from this, I think, actually.
Yeah.
Though considering the way that her character would go.
Yeah. So, do we have any other points we want to make about this?
Only a million. Let me think.
I think that they made... J.D. Christian Slater made him very alluring to basically everybody like who's watching, especially Winona Ryder's character, so that he had that air of being somebody who you know is really bad for you but you can't resist.
Well, I know, and all the students, like, in the school, like, knew that too, because, you know, the jocks were, like, threatened by him, and they would be like, you know, the meat-headed one would be like, let's beat him up after school, and then his friend would be like, no, man, we're seniors, we can't do that.
Yeah,
like, and then even like, even though Heather one was like mean to everyone, like, you could tell that she was like intimidated or even like freaked out by him, because like,
he's scary. Yeah, you know, she didn't
he's
want...
scary hot.
Yeah, yeah. Want Veronica,
he's very scary hot.
He's a really good character.
I think that he didn't actually get blown up at the end, and he went off and became the Joker in The Dark Knight. That would make a lot of sense.
It makes so much sense.
We got a theory, everyone. We got a theory.
Roshan's theory.
Chaos, man. He's talking about chaos all the time, and that's all I could think of.
Yeah.
And he has that long coat going on, you know?
He really does look like him, though.
Yeah.
He acts like him, really.
Even, like, his facial expressions are kind of... I wonder if he's Ledger watched this film. He probably did. And he was like,
Let the fan art begin, guys.
Oh, yes. Christian Slater as the Joker. Perfect.
Yes. Yeah, baby, yeah. Sorry, I'm, like, obsessed with that video. Oh, my gosh, Christian Slater.
Yeah.
Okay. I love him so much. But yeah, guys, if you, if that sounds tempting to you.
What?
The movie, Watching Heathers.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you just meant Christian Slater.
If Christian Slater sounds tempting to you.
I know, I was like, well.
Hands off, he's mine.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't even think his slightly, like, nasally voice is, like, even a turnoff. Like.
It really reminded me
like,
of someone
is,
back
isn't his voice, like, it, his voice doesn't fit his face.
Yeah, it doesn't at all. It's
like,
just
right.
A strange combo.
He does kind of need, like, a deeper voice, but...
He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. It's beautiful. It's perfect.
I like the combo. It's
perfect.
It sort of catches you off guard.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. We should probably change the subject, because I'll just keep talking about him and, you know.
Christian Slater's hilarious in Archer.
Oh, yeah.
He's Christian Slater.
Oh, and he's amazing at Mr. Robot, but I'm not even going to get into that.
Aw, man. What was that crazy thing that the counselor said in the movie? Like, at the very end, when Veronica was like, get a job.
Oh, yeah.
What did she say, like,
teen
like,
suicide.
Oh.
It's whether or not to commit suicide is a really big decision in your teenage life.
Yeah, that's exactly
yeah,
what
like,
she
it's
said.
Like fucking like choosing your university that you're going to go to.
Oh.
Like,
yeah.
Like,
you're right,
man.
That was exactly the way that she phrased that.
She phrased it like, you know.
Which is why this is so funny. Which is why that this movie is so ridiculous.
It's so humorous.
It
leads up to that sort of thing, you know?
It's so ridiculous, but it makes such good points, but it's so ridiculously humorous.
Things happen where you're just like, that is obviously insane. Like, the thing that she just said. Like, it's very important in a teenager's life not to commit suicide. And you're like, what?
No, she didn't even say not.
Yeah,
she said committing suicide in a young teenager's life is a very important decision.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
That patronizing tone that they always use, like, have you thought about the future, you know?
I don't patronize bunnies, Roshan.
That's my favorite line.
I don't patronize bunnies.
it's his face. He's got, that guy is amazing. He's one of my favorite characters, I think. Like,
the
just
dad?
Because, yeah, just his facial expression, just watching him, he's just hilarious every time he's on the screen.
Like, when he was smoking, like, why do I smoke these things? And she's like,
yeah.
Because you're an idiot.
Dad.
But
it's
especially,
like that's
he's
right.
So genuinely offended at her. She's like, I don't patronize bunny rabbits, and he just stares like really offended at her for the rest of the scene. It's hilarious.
He's just so wrapped up in the fact that she said that to him, like,
uh-huh. And then when he's just
nothing
like,
to do
really,
with anything else
after
incredible.
I know, even with everything else that's going on at this moment, like, even, and wasn't that even at the time where JD had told them that she was going to commit suicide?
Yeah,
like, they didn't even care that, you know, because I feel like if any parent heard from any second party that their kid was going to commit suicide, they'd be genuinely concerned. But
they were
like,
not. They were like, we were told that we should keep you away from like sharp objects.
Yeah,
and
JD said you're
going to
commit suicide tonight. So we got to keep.
You have been depressed lately.
you have been depressed.
You want some pate?
That's such a good line. Oh. There's so many good lines in this film,
so
actually.
So good.
Oh.
And then JD climbs through her window and she's like hanging there because she like fake commit suicide. He comes and she goes, oh, I loved you. I mean, I came here to kill you.
Yeah. Coming up here to
but
kill
I was
you
gonna show you. But I was gonna show you the suicide note I wrote for you.
That I wrote.
I was gonna try and maybe convince you to come and just do this thing with me again. Oh, wow.
Goodness.
It's like so messed up.
And then you're just like laughing that he would even think he came up there to. He's like, well, I was gonna come up here and kill you. And you're just like, what? And she's like hanging there, and her mom comes in. She's like, she's like, I would have given you that job at the mall. I just didn't want you to come home late.
So I should have given you... I know, like, her daughter's hanging there, like, dead, in quotation marks, because she's not actually. But she's just like, I should have given you that pony when you were five.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, so ridiculous.
Like, she's just, like, more shocked than upset, really. She's just like,
yeah.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
She's like, oh, now what? Like, it's not even... This movie is so good.
Yeah, so on every level, it just keeps ramping up as it goes along.
Yeah, it really does.
It's a wild ride.
Yeah, it's good though.
This might be the first time I don't agree with Metascore.
What do you mean? It got a 73.
That's not good enough.
It's in the green, at least.
No.
Well, of several of them were like in the 40s and 50s. Yeah. So that's why it got brought down so much.
I can understand
those dumb
why people,
would
just be turned off by it.
Yeah,
dumb
it's
critics.
So violent because it's just too much.
They just
you guys,
didn't get it.
It's hyper.
Have you guys ever seen a movie called The Voices?
It's really very.
With Ryan Reynolds?
What?
No.
The Voices with Ryan Reynolds is another film that's extremely dark, got humor in it. It's actually darker, I would say, than Heather's, like, by a good long shot.
Yeah.
But it's excellent. See, after I saw Ryan Reynolds in that, I was like, I need to watch every film that he's in because he is an excellent actor.
I do love him in Deadpool.
Uh-huh, well, man. this is the film I watched it and I'm like, he is perfect for Deadpool watching
yeah.
it because it's got that same dark humor and it's also it's told from a perspective And so that colours the world a lot of the time, and it does it in a very clever way. So that's another... If you liked Heathers, please check out The Voices with Ryan Reynolds.
Thank you, Roshan.
Thank you for that movie suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's interesting, Ryan Reynolds.
I love him.
I've had such conflicting feelings about Ryan Reynolds. Ever since The Green Lantern, I was just like, is this man going to make a comeback? And then he did.
Deadpool is so good that I'm not even going to get into it now. It is not even worth it. Heathers.
That needs to be a whole other podcast.
It really is
in itself a revolutionary superhero
movie. You gotta get me in for that one.
It's just a revolutionary movie. It's just such a good movie. I just don't even... Anyways.
Back to Heathers. So Christian Slater, if you're listening...
Just talking about Christian Slater.
If you're listening, I love you.
Oh, you're so adorable. Ah, Christian! He's so crazy hot.
He even has the little earring.
The bad boy earring. Yeah. Oh my god.
I just saw it and I'm like, bad boy earring. God damn.
And what's funny is that this movie kind of hints toward it being a bit on the crazier side from the beginning, but then you kind of just decide to bypass it until shit happens. Until the first murder.
You, like, wait through like, that you're just like, whole time.
Oh, Christian Slater just threw out a gun in the lunchroom.
In the middle of the lunchroom.
Appears in her room at night.
Nah, I'm sure it's fun. I'm sure there's going to be a prom and everyone's going to be happy at the end. No.
No. He, like, comes out, and, like, finds out where she lives, crawls through her window.
He's stalking her all the time.
Walks through her window, is like, hey, baby. And she's like, all right, let's go have sex. And it's just very, like, all right, fine. And you're, like, just taking this, like, okay? Like, you just don't expect everything that happens in this
You're
movie.
Definitely as blind in the beginning as Winona is the entire movie.
Well...
I mean, she jumps in and out of realizing what the hell she's doing after being ignorant, like, and just purposely blinding herself from the craziness.
Yeah, she does that a lot. She purposely just, like, doesn't look at a lot of things and just ignores a lot of red flags throughout her whole life.
Which there's many.
Mm-hmm. And that's there a were really many. Good, it's a really good lesson, I think
blood
it's
red
a
flags.
Really good... film for that. I remember thinking that during it. I'm like, this is a good film for teaching people not to ignore red flags.
That is
just
true.
Because a person's hot. Just because you're smart doesn't mean you can't blind yourself.
He's really very I'm just gonna say that from now on.
He's so very
I love it so much.
What's your damage?
Stop being a mega bitch. I love that. Also, you're so very...
Oh, thanks, Emily.
That wasn't meant to be a compliment.
Well, then fuck me gently with a chainsaw. Okay.
Oh, man.
Well, all right. Well, I don't know if we have much more to say about this.
I don't know where you can go.
Ending conclusions. Boycott Heathers the musical.
No, Emily, no. Don't say that.
We don't promote it.
We know nothing about it. I'm just...
Alessandra, the last sentence in this, in Alan from Atlantic, he says, it's a sad thought. Heathers turned into a mere Glee episode about suicide.
Oh my God.
As Veronica might ask, what's the upchuck factor on that? Like, judging by what Alan Atlantic is saying, that the Heathers musical just turned into a fucking Glee episode. You know how I feel about Glee, Alessandra. Yeah. You know how I feel about Glee.
That sounds like about the worst thing you could do to Heathers.
If that's true, I don't know. I don't know anything about the musical, but if that is what has happened, that is a tragedy.
Shame on you. That is
a true tragedy.
Shame on you.
If it's true, shame on you.
Okay. If it's true, if Alan Atlantic is true, shame on you.
Okay, well, you can find us at Twitter at the popcorn is our Twitter handle.
I forgot.
You can also email us at allbythepopcornpodcast@gmail.com and allbythepopcorn@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page, so you can just search All By The Popcorn to find our Facebook page. And yeah, you need to update the Twitter, buddy. You've been doing nothing.
That's right, nothing.
Thanks to Roshan for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
We'll definitely have you on again because you are really good at film analysis.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love films.
And Roshan's also an artist.
Yes.
So if you want to check out, do you want to tell her yourself?
Roshan.art on Instagram. And I have a Facebook page, which is Shane Art. I've got written down just now. That's about what I've got just now. I'm constructing another website and working on stuff.
Awesome. Well, you should
make a picture.
Thanks for my little plug there.
You should make a Heather's picture. You should make a Heather's inspired picture.
Now that you love this movie, which I feel like you do.
Yeah. I remember when I watched Girl Interrupted, I really wanted to do a picture of Winona Ryder anyway. So
yeah, with Angelina.
And she looks really cool in a lot during Heather's. So
she looks really very.
We were thinking we would all dress up like those characters.
Yes.
That would be a real good outfit.
Her at the end. That is
the
best one.
With the bomb going off.
Just, oh my gosh.
With the cigarette that's halfway lit in her mouth.
So good.
The cigarette that's completely burnt all the way down to the end.
Like,
but it's
Christian Slater just blew up in front of her.
But it's just fried together. Her completely empty cigarette. It's just insane. It's insane.
It's great. It's great stuff. Anyways, thanks for listening very much. Very.
You guys have been really very. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Bye.
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 Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.